The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
That's what victory is. Victory in Jesus. Glory to God. Now, Father, I look unto you and I ask you, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, Father, let me teach and preach your word with power and authority, wisdom, revelation, and anointing. Let me speak with clarity and conviction in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 16. And today I want to conclude the series of messages I began back in August. A series entitled, Being Led by the Spirit of God. And today I want to talk about open for business. I am so open for business. I just want to do the Lord's will. Whatever the Lord says to me, I want to accept it. I want to receive it. And I want to act on it. I want to be obedient. I am open to do the business of the Lord. Here in John chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says to them, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. There were many things he wanted to teach them, many things he wanted to show them, but they weren't in a space at that time. They weren't in a place where they could handle them. There are some things you'll never be able to handle, beloved, until you allow God to lead you into the place he wants you to be. But as long as you're lingering and lagging behind, as long as you're dragging your spiritual heels, there are some things that God wants to say to you, but you won't be able to bear them. You won't be able to handle them. Look at somebody and ask them, are you ready to do God's business? So there were many things Jesus said that I want to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And one of the things that helps us get into a place where we can handle what God has to say to us, God's instruction, what he wants us to do, is to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Not having the Holy Spirit that you wear as a badge of honor, but having the Holy Spirit as a vital force that lives on the inside, who order your steps, who delights in your way. His disciples weren't ready to bear everything that he had to say to them because they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 13 bears that out. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. But right now, you're not able to bear them. You're not able to handle it. But however, when he, the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. He would only speak my word in your life. He would only speak my word in your spirit. And he will show you things to come. How many have had that experience? Can you say amen? That God showed you something and it came to pass. And you're in a place where you can handle it. Some people saying, I want to hear from God. Some people are questioning and they're lamenting over the fact, I don't ever hear from God. Where are you in a place where you can handle what God wants to say to you? You got to be in a place to be able to bear what God wants to say to you. And the best place to be and the best way to be in that place is to have the Holy Spirit as a vital force in your life. I don't know what I would do without the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. I just don't know what I would do. I can't depend on my pedigree, even though my father was a pastor. And even though there were great pastors in the line and lineage of my family, I can't depend on that. I can't depend on my education or my degrees. I can't depend on my experience. If I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't be in a place to bear what God has to say to me. Glory to God. I am open for business. Now, in addition to angels, dreams, and visions, God will speak to his people and God will lead his people with the inward witness, that inward voice, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, although the voice of the Holy Spirit is more authoritative than the inward witness and the inward voice, the primary way that God leads us is with that inward witness. You got to be sensitive to that inward witness. That inward witness comes to testify of the truth that God is speaking to you. This is what Paul said in Romans 8. Paul said, "For he, the Spirit himself, would bear witness in our spirits that we are the sons of God." I don't need somebody else to tell me I'm saved. I don't need somebody else to tell me I'm filled with the Spirit. For he himself, the Holy Ghost, he bears witness in my spirit that I am a son of God. That is an inward witness. Then as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Paul says, they are the sons of God. How do we call ourselves the children of God and we don't allow God to lead us? We don't allow God to speak to us. We don't put ourselves in a position to do God's business. But it's that inward witness that's the primary way that God leads us and that God speaks to us. You get that witness. So stop looking for a word on the outside. Stop looking for some prophet to come to town and look on the inside. Open that third ear of the Spirit and hear what God is saying to you. Glory to God. Now, spirits must be open. This is the way we must live, beloved. Our spirits must be open to the Holy Ghost if we're going to do God's business. Is that right? Now, let me talk a little about business. This is business. This is business. Paul told the Corinthians, well, the Romans rather, in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, he says, not slothful in business. In other words, do not be slothful in business. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Look at somebody and say, this is business. Now, in this business, listen to me very carefully, God is the owner of the business. You are the buyer. Come on. You are the customer. You are the client. Huh? But the owner of the business has an agent. He has an employee called the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost stands ready, come on, to supply your demand. He stands ready to sell whatever you're willing to buy. But you gotta be ready to buy. Come on, if he's going to sell. Is that right? And the question is, are you ready to buy the truth? Because the owner of the business and his agent, they stand willing and ready to do their customer's bidding. Is that right? This is why, beloved, we always buy what the Spirit sells. We can trust the Spirit. Jesus said when he has come, he would be a spirit of truth. And he would guide us into all truth. Jesus said you can trust him because he will not speak on his own authority. He never comes with a private agenda. He only speaks to you what's in line with God's plan and purpose for your life according to his word. So we can trust him. And he always stands ready to do your bidding. Glory to God. This is why the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 23, verse 23, he wrote, "Buy the truth and sell it not." And also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. Buy the truth. Sell it not. We got to stop selling the truth. And every time we find ourselves in a place where we're dragging our heels spiritually, we're not pressing in for that closer relationship, not pressing in for that intimacy in the spirit, we are selling the truth. He is the truth. He was, he is, and he shall be the truth. And nothing will ever change the truth. You might have your truth. I may even have my truth. But there's only one, the truth. And he is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes by the Father except by him. And so if you're not ready for the truth, you're not ready for God. Did you hear what I said? You got to be ready for the truth. There's some things that the truth wants to speak to you, but are you able to bear them? But when the Holy Spirit takes place, that rightful place in your life, then he helps you to understand that truth. So the writer of Proverbs says, buy the truth. Buy the truth. Sell it not. You don't part from the truth for no consideration. Many people have compromised on the truth for the sake of money. You know, my wife and I, we were driving down the road last Sunday. We drove over just to check on the facility here because we had been without electricity. And we noticed on the way, as bad as the conditions were, it was a tropical storm warning, had been downgraded to a tropical storm warning, and yet we passed by a couple storefront churches that was having church. And I said to my wife, I would never risk the safety of our people in the name of having a service just to raise an offering. If Jesus can't take care of his church, who am I? He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. So if the money don't come in, it ain't on me, it's on him. But I'm not going to compromise the truth for money. And many people have parted from the truth for money. But he says, you buy the truth. You never part from the truth. You never sell this truth. You never compromise this truth. You never allow anything or anyone to deprive you of this truth. Don't let nothing come between you and the truth. You never surrender. You always stand for the truth. Some people have parted from the truth for the consideration of money, pleasure. Maybe it's fame. Maybe it's just ease. In other words, being lazy. Too lazy to want to hear from God. Pastor Jerry, tell me what God is saying. Too lazy to get in the presence of God. Too lazy to open their Bibles and read it for themselves. We want to live a life of ease, but when you're doing that, you are selling the truth. He wants to be the truth in your life, not just my life. We don't part from this truth. We never let nothing separate us from the truth. We never let nothing deprive of this truth. So he said, buy the truth. Sell it not. Once you buy this truth from the owner of this business through his agent, his employee, the Holy Ghost, he is supplying your demand. Come on. If you're buying, he's selling. He's going to do the bidding of his customers. And he says, buy this truth. And once you buy it, don't ever sell it. You got to be open to do God's business. And when you sell the truth, you have placed a sign over your forehead that says, closed for business. That ever happen to anybody other than me? You're running to get to a store or something, then you see a sign that says closed. In other words, they're closed to your demand. They're closed to supply your demand. They're closed to sell whatever you want to buy. They're closed to do your bidding. They're just closed for any transaction. Any exchange is closed. Is that right? But thank God we serve a God who's always open for business. But the question is, are you open for business? Are you open to do God's business? You will never be led by the Spirit of God. You will never hear the Spirit of God speak to you until you decide in your heart that I'm open for business. So we buy the truth, sell it not. And not just the truth, but the writer of Proverbs says also wisdom. Wisdom. You know, wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. And some of us are like we don't have any wisdom based on what we think we know. It doesn't do any good to have knowledge if you can't use it or know how to use it. Wisdom is the ability to use that knowledge. And so we don't part with wisdom. When God gives us wisdom about something, when the Holy Spirit shows us things to come, we don't part from that. We don't let nothing separate us from that. Not only does he say wisdom, but he says and also instruction. When is the last time the Holy Spirit gave you instruction? He will instruct you about even, he would even instruct you about what to wear to work tomorrow. Amen. Folks open their closet and look, I ain't got nothing to wear. Got clothes wall to wall, shoes rack to rack. I ain't got nothing to wear. What is God saying? What is God saying to you? He will lead you and guide you into all truth. All truth means anything you need truth about. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you instructions. And also, the writer of Proverbs says, an understanding. Understanding. In other words, he'll give you the understanding about the knowledge he broke off to you. You need some understanding about that. Is that right? So you don't sell the truth. You buy it. And you keep it. Is that right? Let me give you a good example of that. Turn to the book of Acts. Good example of this, illustration of this, in the life of Apostle Paul. And I want to show you how he cleaved to the truth, to the wisdom God had given, the instructions, and the understanding. In Acts chapter 27, Acts chapter 27. Now, Paul had been arrested for preaching the gospel. You know, a lot of times when we hear somebody got arrested, the first thing we say, what did they do wrong? Well, the question is not what Paul did wrong, but what he did right. He's preaching the gospel. Paul had been arrested, and he was taken before the governor Festus, and then Festus had him stand before King Agrippa. But it was determined, since Paul had appealed to Caesar, Paul was a Roman citizen, so it was his right to be heard by Caesar. And because Paul had appealed to Caesar, then Festus and Agrippa was obligated to send him to Caesar. So he boarded a ship to take him to Rome. And I want to pick it up at verse 9. If you're there, say amen. Now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them. Now, the fast that Paul is speaking about is the annual Day of Atonement. Now, the more I research this, this happened that year on this day. Today is the first day of the autumn equinox. In other words, today is the first day of fall. Now, in Paul's day, ships didn't have GPS. They didn't have a navigation system other than the sun and the stars. But now they found themselves in the midst of a storm. But how many know that God will be God even in the midst of the storm? Glory to God. They found themselves in the midst of the storm. Now the fast was already over. Now the fast being over, the fast started on Friday evening. It ended on Saturday evening. Now that the fast is over, Paul receives an inward witness. And the inward witness was verse 10. Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Please notice this was an inward witness. This was something he perceived in his spirit. The Holy Spirit bore witness in his spirit that this ship, this voyage, was in danger. Not only of the cargo, but the ship itself. Not only of the cargo and the ship, but even their lives were at danger. And to perceive something is to be aware of it through the senses. And this is how God works oftentimes. God will give us a perception in our spirit, and we need to buy it. And don't just say, maybe I ate the wrong thing last night. You don't sell it. You don't say, oh, that's the cheese. I'm a little lactose intolerant. It must be the cheese. No, it wasn't the cheese in Paul's case. God gave him a perception. He perceived in his spirit when they were sailing to Rome that they were going to face danger and disaster. Not only the cargo, not only the ship itself, but even their very lives would be in danger. Verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Don't you ever worry about that. When God gives you something and you really believe it's from God and nobody else want to believe it, you make sure you hold on to it. If they don't want to buy it, you make sure you bought it and refuse to sell it. Now, the owner of the ship didn't know God, but Paul knew God. The owner of the ship didn't have the Holy Ghost, but Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. So the owner of the ship persuaded them, believe me, not this prisoner. Now, if you jump down to verse 21. But after a long abstinence from food, in verse 33, I'll tell you, it was 14 days. But after a long absence from food, they encountered a violent windstorm. It was probably a hurricane. And the ship is at danger. They've already began to unload the cargo and throw it overboard. They've already began to lighten the ship as best as they could. And this went on for 14 days. They're being tossed to and fro on the Adriatic Sea, trying to get to Italy. 14 days in a storm. But after a long abstinence from food, and by the way, this was the forced fast. Now, there are many fasts in the Bible, but this 14-day fast was not a fast called by God. It was forced. Come on. And you may be on a forced fast because you don't have anything to eat at home. That's called a forced fast. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. There's a lot of people that's not going to listen to you. There's a lot of people going to reject your truth. Just make sure you hold on to it. Just make sure you buy it and sell it not. You got to be about being open to do God's business. Paul was open to do God's business. Verse 22, now I urge you, Paul says, to take heart. For there shall be no loss of life among you, but only in the ship. Now, remember in the earlier verses we read, when Paul received the inward witness was there would be harm and disaster for the cargo, the ship, and their lives may be a danger. But now something has shifted. Something has shifted. And he says now, I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. Well, Paul, how do you know that? Well, verse 23, for there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong. In other words, I belong to God. And whom I serve. Saying, do not be afraid. The angel said to Paul, don't be afraid. Even though you're being tossed to and fro. Even though you're facing a lot of danger out here on the sea. Don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. Listen to this. If God said a thing, he's going to bring it to pass in your life. I don't care what your circumstances are today. I don't care what mom and them said. If God showed it to you, he's going to bring it to pass. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. See, a lot of folk are going to be blessed just by being with you. Let me say it again. A lot of folk are going to be blessed by being with you rather than being against you. Come on. And if you're in your car and you drive into a blessing and somebody riding with you, they're going to arrive at that blessing too. Therefore, take heart.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. We hope you'll join us Sunday for a live worship service at 1430 South New Hope Road in Southeast Raleigh. www.agapeword.net. That's 10 a.m. Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.